You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Going Where You Haven't Gone Before.
Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 8. And it reads, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went or not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And I think this is about week 4 or 5. I lose count after 3. of me teaching from this series, going where you haven't gone before. Going where you haven't gone before. And I just believe that God has called his people to be above average. Amen? And I believe even more so that the people that God's given me to lead and the people God's given me to pastor are supposed to be above average people. Y'all know if you just want to be average, I'm probably going to get on your nerves. Because I don't believe God wants any of us to be average, mediocre. Amen? He said, I even wish you were either hot or cold, not lukewarm. And the whole thing about America is that everyone tries to be, I ain't going to say tries to be. We can just settle for being, if you're in the middle, you're okay. You hear everything talk about the middle class and average. But God's called us to be above average. He told his people, I want you to be the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. And so when we're talking about going where you haven't gone before, I'm talking about those of us who have an ear and God, you know that God has called you to have some element of greatness in your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody feel like I'm supposed to be great in some aspect of my life? Come on. Some of us who in here, you always felt like you was in the wrong family. Like somebody said to me, deliver me, Lord, from this untoward generation. Talking about their brothers and sisters. Okay? Just feel like, how did I end up in, I think different, I want more, and some of us, I'm the kind of person, y'all, I can't stand drama. I can't tell you how much I can't stand drama. When I'm talking about drama, I'm talking about people being petty and fighting over little petty things. When I have conversations with people and they gossiping about, I'm like, whoa, I got to go. I mean, I just believe life is about so much more. And, I'm talking millions of dollars and you're over here arguing over 2 cents. It rattles my brain. I mean, it's like some people can't stand the scratching on the boards. That's how that kind of stuff is with me. Sometimes some people come from churches where they just always have drama with people. But when you're called to be above average, then that kind of stuff, it just irritates you. Because you know there's so much more than to get caught up in pettiness and minutia. Amen? Say, we got to move up. We got to move beyond pettiness and minutia. Amen. Minutia got the same letters as manure. It's time to move beyond that. So we start talking about, we looked at the backdrop of Abraham to see the characteristics of what it takes to go where you haven't gone before and do things you haven't done before. And one of the most basic things that we started with is that you have to have faith. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I said this, I believe, last week, that faith, this whole element, this whole concept, the force of faith, this teaching of faith, is not an elective for believers. Now, if you've been to college, you know that when you have a major, there's certain courses that are core classes that you have to take if you're going to get this degree. And then there's others that are elective. You find that interesting. I took an astronomy class my freshman year. I mean, I don't remember one thing. I mean, it was a night class, too. We would go out at night and look at the stars. And the professor said, you see that right there? Hey, right there. That's the Big Dipper. At the end of that is, and I'm like, yeah. It was an elective. I don't remember anything. Probably every class I took, some kind of way I work it into something. I don't remember nothing about astronomy. It was an elective. It's not a requirement. It's nothing I may ever have to deal with in life again. Well, faith is not an elective. Faith is part of the Christian's core curriculum. You got to master faith. You can't get anywhere without faith. According to Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. How often do you live? How many hours a day do you live? How many minutes an hour do you live? Okay, so that means if you're living all the time, you got to be in faith all the time. Because the just shall live by faith. For the believer, faith is breathing. In him we live, we move, we have our being. We can't make without faith. Amen? So that's the most basic thing when we look at Abraham. Second, we said that we're going to have to become participators in the supernatural. We have to operate in faith because God wants us to participate. Not just spectate, not just receive. There's things that we're going to have to do ourselves through the power of God if we are going to go where we haven't gone before. Thirdly, we got to become comfortable walking through darkness is what we talked about last week. Got to be comfortable going into dark places. I don't see it, but I believe it. I don't see it, but I heard God. So to go where you haven't gone before, you have to become comfortable that yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. His rod and his staff are going to be there to protect you. You have to have confidence that when you walk in the dark places, light is going to rise. Amen. Then we deal with that last week. By walking through darkness. Let me move on this week, because this next element that I'm talking about in terms of getting where you're going, where you haven't gone before, is the concept of calling. You must know that you are called. To go where you haven't gone before, you have to know that you're called, not suspect that you're called. You got to know that you are called. Hebrews 11 and 8, again, looking at the foundation text. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going or not knowing whither he went. By faith, when he was called to go out. And no sense of walking out into dark places if you ain't called to go there. Amen. Y'all ever watch a horror movie, you know Jason in there and they just won't see what's in there. That movie, Get Out. He started acting very uncharacteristic when he went in there. I'm like, no, don't go in there. Don't go in there. Get out now. Don't delay. Check out anything else. Get out. It's no sense of going in the dark place if you ain't called to go there. Certain things you only do if you're called. Oh, this is good. Now, if you watch these stunts, it may be you know those guys gliding in those suits, or it may be them driving a Range Rover in the snow. And if you watch the fine print in a commercial, it'll say these are professional stuntmen or something. It'll say something like, "Don't try this at home." Just because you see somebody else doing this and it looks exciting, don't do this. Certain things you don't do or attempt to do unless you've been called to do it. By faith, he went out. By faith, he went out when he was called to go out. This is good. It's difficult to have faith to do anything that you have not been called to do. Calling gives you assurance and confidence. Calling gives you assurance and confidence. It is hard to have assurance, which is the settling of doubt and fears. And confidence, which is the assurance that it's going to work out. I'm going to reach my destination. It's hard to have that if you have not been called. You must first have assurance that you are called to do whatever you are attempting to do. You have to have assurance that you're called to go wherever you're trying to go. You have to have assurance that you are called to accomplish whatever you're trying to accomplish. And the reason why now this is so profound and so pertinent is because we live in a day, y'all, where so many of us are moved by social media. People try things because they see it on social media. Okay? And we were talking about this. We spent a lot of time talking about this with my staff yesterday. I'm not just talking about kids and teenagers. I'm talking about grown attitude people. Okay? Grown attitude people. We're getting moved by Facebook and by Instagram and by Twitter. And watch this. If you're not careful, your self-esteem will either be positively or negatively affected based upon whether or not you got likes on your picture. That's just too much power to give to people who don't even know you. And so also the thing that happens as a result of that, people get ideas about what you're supposed to be doing or what's successful based upon what's on Facebook. Now, just because you see a realtor post on Facebook just sold his house, that don't mean you're supposed to be a real estate agent. What they didn't tell you, they've been working with that client for 2 years. What they didn't tell you is that the negotiations were 6 months. What they didn't tell you is that they tried to sell it to 3 other people before they got it sold to that one. And you see the result. You see the end. You see the harvest on Facebook. You don't see the years. You don't see the seed. You don't see the work, all that went into this. And then so man, every time I turn around, they're posting that they sold a house. And now, I'm just using this for example. Now, everybody thinks it's supposed to be in real estate. There's nothing wrong with being in real estate if that's what God called you to do. I was talking to someone recently, and they seemed like they're really shocked. He says, you know, I said, my spouse is doing real estate now. And I tell you, that's a hard business. I'm like, duh. What do you think you're gonna go out and say? Da-da! House sold. 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 I'm a $1 million producer. It's work that goes into that. You know, y'all can watch this praise team up here. You know, and they may sing 10 songs. I'm not 10 songs. They may sing two or three songs in 10, 15 minutes. You don't know that they work 2 hours on one song. They work 2 hours. We heard it for 5 minutes, but they worked 2 hours on it when you put everything together to get this one part right. People don't see that. And so you really have to have a sense of what you're called to do so you don't live your life making decisions based upon what somebody else is doing. And now you got the thing. Here's the other thing, y'all. Now you got everybody copying you on Facebook. You put your stuff out there, people are like, oh, okay. Oh, I can do that. Oh, they put a men's conference on. I can do a men's conference. So everybody's now trying to copy everybody. Everybody's trying to take everybody's ideas. Everybody's trying to ride on somebody else's success. And the bad part about that, as Christian, you can get so caught up with that being led and driven by social media and what other people are doing and constantly comparing yourself to other people or contrasting yourself to other people that you never fulfill your calling. So you have to have assurance that you are called and knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, we've been looking at this scripture. I think I ended with this Sunday, Acts 16 and 10. After Paul saw the vision, immediately we endeavored, put all our effort, all our energy worked to go to Macedonia. Why did they do this? A surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It's hard to keep endeavoring at anything that you're not sure you're called to do. So Paul had a vision. He tells it to his team. Everybody gets assured. Yes, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is where we're supposed to be going. So now we endeavor to do it. It's hard to stick with something you're not called to do. Now, hopefully y'all know I ain't talking about preaching, right? Okay, this ain't a minister's conference. This ain't a pastor's conference. So y'all know I ain't trying to get all y'all to think you call to preach. Half the folks preaching ain't called to preach. If you listen, you can tell. So please don't think when I'm talking about calling, I'm talking about being called to preach. I'm talking about whatever you are doing, whatever you are spending your life in as an occupation, whatever you are endeavoring to do, whatever you're spending so much time trying to make happen other than a hobby. They call it an occupation because it occupies your time. That's why it's an occupation. I know different people think differently, but I just always had this thing in me that I'm not going to spend 30, 40, 50 years of my time doing something that I don't like and that I'm not called to do just so I can get a watch and have some insurance. The devil is a liar. Listen, and I've taught this for years. I haven't said as much recently, but some of y'all, you're so addicted to insurance that you won't fulfill God's call on your life. Get insurance. Somebody said to me after I retire, you know, then I'm going to get involved in ministry. Can I help y'all? That ain't how this thing work. After you retire, in other words, God, you know, let me make all the money I want. Let me become secure. Then I do this ministry thing. Oh, really? Really? If I was God, I'd be, oh, that's so nice of you. And do you really think I want you then? Because a servant does not serve at your convenience. I keep telling y'all that. When you at the restaurant, you want water. You don't want them talking about, listen, I got several other things to do. In about 15 minutes, I'll be back to give you some water. No, woman, I don't need some water now. You don't serve at your convenience. You serve at the convenience of the person you're serving. It's the same thing with the Lord. Everything we do is supposed to be service unto Him. It's not at your convenience. It's not if it makes you comfortable. Your wish is my command. Your servant he is, and I shall obey. Rich young ruler, it's not after you provided, you're not asking me to do something that's uncomfortable, like selling my riches. So calling also, calling, the reason why it's called calling is because it calls you away from this to that. It's a calling because you were going here, but now he wants you over here. Solomon got in trouble today. I don't know what was wrong. I really think he was spooked early on today. He was spooked. Somebody was coming over the house to do something. When guests come to the house, you know, and he ain't going to do anything. But everybody don't like dogs. Y'all realize everybody don't like dogs? So if you got a dog, don't let your dog be running up on everybody. Everybody don't like dogs like that. And I really do understand that. I can't stand people just let the dog just come up, jump. I don't. That ain't my dog. That's your dog. That's because he licked you in the face. I don't want him to lick me in the face. My kids don't even lick me in the face. I'm going to let some dog lick me in the face. So anyway, so I told him, I said, so he heard the doorbell ring. I said, come on, to go in his room. He laid there. I said, come on, let's go. Oh, Sookie, it's Sookie now. It was on. I said, come here. He lay there. And I can't tell you all the rest. But I got him over there. He was so messed up when Pastor Marcia came home. She said, what's wrong with you? He had been traumatized. He won't tell you, you don't know what I've been through today. When I call him, I'm expecting him to answer. I said, when I call him, I'm expecting him to answer. I feed him. I take care of him. When God calls us, he wants us to answer. He feeds us. He take care. The Bible said, Psalm 100 said, we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. It's not at your convenience. So he calls us, taking us away from what we had in mind, what we were going to do, so we can do what he wants us to do. So assurance of the call, it gives assurance of provision. Assurance of the call gives assurance of protection. Assurance of the call gives assurance of assistance. In other words, if I know that I'm called, I know he's going to provide for me. If I know I'm called to do it, then I know he's going to protect me while I'm doing it. If I know that I'm called to do it, I know he's going to give me assistance to do it. In the words of Mother Bailey, as I was coming along, as a young man, she said, we say this, where he leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he provides. And where he directs, he protects. Why? Because I'm called. And so it's hard to know. Many times the reason why you waver about the provision, about protection, about assistance, because you're really not sure you're called. But if you know you're called, those things get settled. Provision, protection, assistance. It's settled because I'm called to do this. So God doesn't call you and then leave you or forsake you regarding what he's called you to do. Look at Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. A couple more scriptures that I worked in here that didn't get at noon. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. God is speaking here, says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof. And said unto thee, thou art my servant. I called you, you are my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. So now because I've called you, because you are my servant, look what he says in verse 10. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, that means overwhelmed. For I am your God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But notice he says, you can have assurance of this because I have called you. To go where I haven't gone before, this got to become settled for me. God's called me. So I don't have to be I don't have to be dismayed. God's going to strengthen me. God's going to help me. God's going to uphold me because he's called me to do this. Going over to Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Again, this is the word to the called. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have what? Come on, I have what? I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. Glory to God. Somebody say, I belong to Jesus. God said, you are mine. Whatever God owns, he takes care of. Glory to God. Look at your name. Tell you ought to look like God on you. Tell them you ought to look like God on you. If they don't look right, ask them, who owns you? You ought to look like God owns you. God said, you're mine. I own you. What I'm trying to give you confidence is knowing that because God owns you, he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to keep you looking good. Glory to God. Isaiah 43, okay. I call thee by my name, thou art mine, means I own you. So because I own you, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they're not going to overflow thee. When they walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Notice all this is still connected with your mind. I called you. And because I called you, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take you through the water. I'm going to take you through the fire. I'm not going to allow you to be burned. I'm not going to let you be neglected. I'm not going to forsake you because I called you.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before, but it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. Or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.